Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani Memorai Ram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Baba Kama Daf Tzadi Off, the 8th Perek HaChovel. So the three tops we're going to focus on them. When the Gemara asks, Yesh Omed L'Nizalkin is an assessment made for damages to determine if the weapon was capable of inflicting them, or Ein Omed L'Nizalkin, or is an assessment not made for damages? Is an assessment only made for killing, where some weapons can kill but others cannot, as opposed to damages which can always be attributed to whatever weapon was used, or is an assessment made for damages as well? A Brisa states that for all payments of injury inflicted by a person, we assess the victim and give him the money immediately. The Brisa adds that if the recovery took more or less time than originally estimated, the payment does not change. This proves that an assessment is made for damages. The Gemara answers, to assess the person to estimate his recovery time is certainly necessary to determine the payment amount, but the question remains, whether to assess the instrument of attack. A proof is brought from Shimon Atimi's statement that the weapon of injury must be assessed by Beis Din, and even Rabbi Akiva requires it to be assessed by the Eidim. Point number two, in the Mishnah Daf Tzadi Amud Beis, Rabbi Akiva said that one is not permitted to injure himself, and even if he does so, that does not exempt someone else from paying for injuring him. This is contradicted by a Braisa in which Rabbi Akiva said, Adam Rasha L'chabu Ba'atzmo, a person is permitted to wound himself. Rava initially answers that Kivan the Mishnah was referring to injury, which is forbidden, and the Brisa was referring to humiliating oneself, which is permitted. However, a Brisa teaches that one who swears to injure himself is not liable because it's forbidden to do so. Therefore, the Gemara concedes that it's a Malchokas Tanaim. The Tanu who forbids harming oneself is ultimately identified as Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. The Torah describes a Nazir as Chata HaNefesh, having sinned against the soul, which he explains is because Shetzir Atzmo Min HaYayin, he deprived himself of wine. He adds that one who only deprived himself of wine is called a sinner, then a Metzar Atzmo Kol Davar Ach is Kama V'Kama, one who deprives himself of all things, meaning he fasts, all the more so. And point number three, Rav said, Dikwat Datan Kaba Asil Miksase, a palm tree that bears a cov of dates is forbidden to cut down. This is challenged from the Mishnah, which states that an olive tree which produces a quarter of a kav may not be cut down. And the Gemara answers, Shani Zeisim Dechashive. Olive trees are different because they are valuable. Rabbi Chanina said that his son Shivchas died prematurely only because he cut down a fig tree while it was producing figs. Ravina says, if its wood is of high value, meaning it's greater than its fruit, it is permitted to cut it down. This is supported by a Brisa which darshans a pasuk that even a fruit tree may be cut down for use when conquering an enemy city, and the Torah writes the same about a non-fruit tree. Since this seems superfluous, it teaches l'haktim srak l'machal, to give precedence to the non-fruit tree over the fruit tree, to use a non-fruit tree where only one is needed. The word rock only teaches that it's not so where the wood is of greater value than the fruit. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara asks, Yesh Omer L'Nizalkin is an assessment made for damages to determine if the weapon was capable of inflicting them, O Ein Omer L'Nizalkin, or is an assessment not made for damages? Is an assessment only made for killing, where some weapons can kill but others cannot, as opposed to damages, which can always be attributed to whatever weapon was used, or is an assessment made for damages as well? A Brisa states that for all payments of injury inflicted by a person, we assess the victim and give him the money immediately. The Brisa adds that if the recovery took more or less time than originally estimated, the payment does not change. This proves that an assessment is made for damages. The Gemara answers, to assess the person to estimate his recovery time is certainly necessary to determine the payment amount, but the question remains, whether to assess the instrument of attack. A proof is brought from Shimon Atimi's statement that the weapon of injury must be assessed by Beis Din, and even Rabbi Akiva requires it to be assessed by the Eidim. Point number two, in the Mishnah Daf Tzadi Amud Beis, Rabbi Akiva said that one is not permitted to injure himself, and even if he does so, that does not exempt someone else from paying for injuring him. This is contradicted by a Braisa in which Rabbi Akiva said, Adam Rasha L'chabu Ba'atzmo, a person is permitted to wound himself. Rava initially answers that Kivan the Mishnah was referring to injury, which is forbidden, and the Brisa was referring to humiliating oneself, which is permitted. However, a Brisa teaches that one who swears to injure himself is not liable because it's forbidden to do so. Therefore, the Gemara concedes that it's a Malchokas Tanaim. The Tanu who forbids harming oneself is ultimately identified as Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. The Torah describes a Nazir as Chata HaNefesh, having sinned against the soul, which he explains is because Shetzir Atzmo Min HaYayin, he deprived himself of wine. He adds that one who only deprived himself of wine is called a sinner, then a Metzar Atzmo Kol Davar Ach is Kama V'Kama, one who deprives himself of all things, meaning he fasts, all the more so. And point number three, Rav said, Dikwat Datan Kaba Asil Miksase, a palm tree that bears a cov of dates is forbidden to cut down. This is challenged from the Mishnah, which states that an olive tree which produces a quarter of a kav may not be cut down. And the Gemara answers, Shani Zeisim Dechashive. Olive trees are different because they are valuable. Rabbi Chanina said that his son Shevchas died prematurely only because he cut down a fig tree while it was producing figs. Ravina says, "V'im hayah ma'ul b'dami mutter," if its wood is of high value, meaning it's greater than its fruit, it is permitted to cut it down. This is supported by a bris which darshans a pasuk that even a fruit tree may be cut down for use when conquering an enemy city, and the Torah writes the same about a non-fruit tree. Since this seems superfluous, it teaches l'chaktim srak l'machal, to give precedence to the non-fruit tree over the fruit tree, to use the non-fruit tree where only one is needed. The word rock only teaches that it's not so where the wood is of greater value than the fruit. All right, so now we get our siman daf tzadi off, and our standard siman is an exit sign. So here goes. The judges who were busy assessing if the old detached exit sign that was used to assault someone was capable of breaking the victim's arm were startled when a tall man started banging his head against the newly installed exit sign to injure himself as a punishment for cutting down a fig tree while it was still producing fruit. Once again, slow motion. The judges who were busy assessing the old detached exit sign, that must be on Daf Tzadi Aleph, Tzei. The judges who were busy assessing if the old detached exit sign that was used to assault someone was capable of breaking the victim's arm, which reminds us, Gemara asks, Yesh Omer L'Nizokin, is an assessment made for damages to determine if the weapon was capable of inflicting them, O Ein Omer L'Nizokin, or is an assessment not made for damages? Is an assessment only made for killing where some weapons can kill but others cannot, as opposed to damages, which can always be attributed to whatever weapon was used, or is an assessment made for damages as well? So the judges who were busy assessing if the old detached exit sign that was used to assault someone was capable of breaking the victim's arm, were startled when a tall man started banging his head against the newly installed exit sign to injure himself, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a malchus, if one is permitted to wound himself. So the judges who were busy assessing the old detached exit sign that was used to assault someone was capable of breaking the victim's arm, were startled when a tall man started banging his head against the newly installed exit sign to injure himself as a punishment for cutting down a fig tree while it was still producing fruit, which reminds us, Rav said that a palm tree that bears a cup of dates is forbidden to cut down. Rabbi Chanina said that a son Shivchas died prematurely only because he cut down a fig tree while it was still producing fruits. So once again, the judges who were busy assessing if the old detached exit sign that was used to assault someone was capable of breaking the victim's arm, were startled when a tall man started banging his head against the newly installed exit sign to injure himself as a punishment for cutting down a fig tree while it was still producing fruit. All right, so now it's time for four blah chazara. Daf Pei Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Pei Zayin is a golden Pez candy dispenser. So here goes. The blind man who was Patra for mitzvahs who knocked over the golden Pez candy dispenser display. Golden Pez candy dispenser? That must be one Daf Pei Zayin. The blind man who was Patra for mitzvahs who knocked over the golden Pez candy dispenser display, which reminds us, Rebuta exempts a blind person from Boshes, Galus, Malkus, and capital punishment, as well as all monetary laws. Another brisa adds, V'kenai Rabbi Yehuda potrim mikol mitzvos ha'amuros b'Torah. And so Rabbi Yehuda would exempt him from all mitzvos in the Torah. This is because the Torah writes, V'eila mitzvos ha'chukim b'mishpatim. Together, teaching kol she'yeshnam b'mishpatim yeshnam b'mitzvos ha'chukim. Anyone who is included in monetary laws is included in the commandments and statutes, but anyone excluded from monetary laws is not included in the mitzvos. So the blind man who was putter from mitzvos, who knocked over the golden Pez candy dispenser display, didn't see the girl had come into the store to buy Pez candy with the money she received from getting injured, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar asked Rav, Achova babas katana shel acherim, if one wounds the minor daughter of others, chaval lami, to whom is the injury payment given? Do we say that since the Torah awarded all the gains of her na'aris to the father, he also receives the injury payment, since her value as a potential ama ivria was diminished? Or do we say that he only receives gains such as her kedushin money because he can marry her off to whomever he chooses, but not injury money since he's prohibited from injuring her? Rav responded that the father does not receive her damage payments. So the blind man who was patur from mitzvos, who knocked over the golden Pez candy dispenser display, didn't see the girl had come into the store to buy Pez candy with the money she received from getting injured, nor the boy outside looking through the window whose money was put into trust when his father injured him, which reminds us. It was taught in a brisa, Chov no gadol yitin lo miyad, if one injures his adult son, he shall give him payment immediately. If he injures his minor son, he makes a trust for him. Daf Pei Ches. So the Simmer Daf Pei Ches is a pach, a garbage can or a dustbin. So here goes. When the Eved Kanani took the garbage can, that must be on Daf Pei Ches, pach. When the Eved Kanani took the garbage can outside from the basin, where he was not allowed to give aidas, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a source that an Eved Kanani is disqualified as an aid. So when the Eved Kanani took the garbage can outside from the basin, where he was not allowed to give aidas, he saw a man approach who threw his claim to his deceased mother's nixnei Malu property into the garbage can, since her husband took it based on Dekanas Husha, which reminds us, Rav Shmuel Bar Abba of Hagronia's mother, after marrying Rabbi Abba, wrote over her property to her son Rav Shmuel. After she died, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba established Rav Shmuel as a property's owner. Rabbi Yehuda ruled otherwise, quoting Shmuel, that if a woman sold her nixei melug during her husband's lifetime and then died, the husband collects the property from the purchasers. Thus, Rabbi Abba can take the property from Shmuel Bar Abba. Shmuel's ruling was based on Tekanas Usha, the enactment of Usha, where the decree to strengthen the husband's right to her property, allowing him to collect it from her purchasers after she dies, as Shmuel said. So, when the Eved Kenani took the garbage can outside from the basin, where he was not allowed to give edus, he saw a man approach who threw his claim to his deceased mother's nixei melug property into the garbage can, since her husband took it, based on Tekanas Usha. As another person was selling land his father wrote over to him, while his father retained rights in the produce, until his death, which reminds the Morbings of Machlokas of a Kenyan Peretz Kenyan Aguf regarding preventing a sale, such as the case of one who writes over his properties to his son to acquire after his death, whereby the son owns the physical land now, but the father retains the right to its produce until he dies, and then the son sells the land. Daf Pei Tes. So the similar Daf Pei Tes is a chalent pot. So here goes. The woman showing off her new chalent pot. Chalent pot? That must be on Daf Pei Tes. The woman showing off her new chalent pot she purchased with the tovah sanah she received when she sold her ksuba, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a married woman who sells her ksuba, which the buyer would collect if she becomes divorced or widowed, but not if she dies first. The buyer says, tovah sanah le'isha havya, the discounted amount paid by the buyer belongs to the wife. So the woman showing off her new chalent pot she purchased with the tovah sanah she received when she sold her ksuba to her friend who was not permitted to sell her ksuba to pay for damages she inflicted, which reminds us on Daf Pei Zayin Amun Aleph, the Mishnah taught that married women do not pay for damages they inflict since they do not have money. The Gemara asks that she should sell her nixei melug to pay the victim and is forced to say the cases where she has none. The Gemara asks that she should sell her ksuba for its risk value, and the Gemara explains that even if she would sell the ksuba, she could later forgive the ksuba, which Shmuel taught is effective, which she would certainly do for her husband, and we do not want to actively cause the buyer a loss. So the woman showing off her new chalent pot she purchased with the tovah sanah she received when she sold her ksuba to her friend who was not permitted to sell her ksuba to pay for damages she inflicted served some chalent to her nixei melug slave who wasn't freed when her husband knocked out his tooth, which reminds us, two braises discuss slaves of melug property owned by the wife and the husband enjoys the produce. One states, Yotzei Mishein Ba'ein Le'isha, they go free with the loss of a tooth or an eye inflicted by the wife, who's considered the owner of a lo le'ish, but not if it was afflicted by the husband, who is not considered an owner. The other braisa teaches that neither is considered an exclusive owner. Four explanations are offered. Dav Tzadi. So the simmer Dav Tzadi is a stucca box. So here goes. The master who sold a slave but retained his work for 30 days, who was so happy he was still subject to the rule of Yom U'Yomayim when he killed the slave that he put money in the based in tzedakah box, that must be on Daf Tzadi. The master who sold the slave but retained his work for 30 days, who was so happy he was still subject to the rule of Yom or Yomayim when he killed the slave that he put money in the based in tzedakah box, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a four-way machlokas regarding who gets the din of Yom or Yomayim when someone sells a slave but retains his work for 30 days. The issue is dependent on what one holds, whether kinyan haperos ka kinyan haguftami. So the master who sold the slave but retained his work for 30 days, who was so happy he was still subject to the rule of Yom U'Yomayim when he killed the slave that he put money in the based in tzedakah box, was shocked when he noticed some judges who witnessed a murder act as witnesses, which reminds us, a braisa teaches that if Sanhedrin witnessed a murder, Rav Tarfon says some of the judges testify before the others, and the others can judge based on the received testimony. Rav Akiva said that since all of them were potential witnesses, none of them can judge the case. So the master who sold a slave but retained his work for 30 days, who was so happy he was still subject to the rule of Yom or Yomayim, when he killed the slave that he put money in the based in tzedakah box, was shocked when he noticed some judges who witnessed a murder act as witnesses, as the judges judging examined the murder weapon, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if a weapon must be examined by the judges or just the witnesses. All right, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.